Tell me, you who desire to be under the law, do you not listen to the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by a slave woman and one by a free woman. But the son of the slave was born according to the flesh, while the son of the free woman was born through promise. Now this may be interpreted allegorically. These women are two covenants. One is from Mount Sinai, bearing children for slavery. She is Hagar. Now Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia. She corresponds to the present Jerusalem, for she is in slavery with her children. But the Jerusalem above is free, and she is our mother. For it is written, "Rejoice, O barren one who does not bear. Break forth and cry aloud, you who are not in labour. For the children of the desolate one will be more than those of the one who has a husband." Now you, brothers, like Isaac, are children of promise. But just as at that time, he who was born according to the flesh persecuted him who was born according to the Spirit, so also it is now. But what does the scripture say? Cast out the slave woman and her son, for the son of the slave woman shall not inherit with the son of the free woman. So, brothers, we are not children of the slave, but of the free woman. Thanks be to God.
Jemima, thank you very much for reading our reading for us this evening. It's very interesting reading that, isn't it, for Father's Day? Because in the verses just prior, Paul actually refers to himself using terms of feeling actually like a mother. So verse 19, "My little children, for whom I am again in anguish of childbirth until Christ is formed in you. I wish I could be present with you now and change my tone, for I'm perplexed about you." So Paul, this isn't the only place he does, but Paul depicts himself as a mother, caring for children and being very, very passionate about it. And then our reading went on to give an example. There are two wonderful examples, amazing examples, actually, from the Bible of two mothers. So, yeah, strange reading for Mothering Sunday. It is Father's Day, so this is what my children gave me. Gave me this beer because it's got my name on it. I got this beer, Wainwright, because I like walking. So that was very, very kind of them. And then they got me this ginger beer because I'm often quite crabby. So there you go with that one. And the main instigator of these beer gifts was, there's a connection with a particular ale. And you see the connection, you can see which kid was both being kind, but also taking the mickey out of me on Father's Day. But it's great, isn't it, Father's Day? So wish you all the best if you're a dad. I think looking at the screen, I may well only be the only grandpa on the call today. But great day. But we are thinking about some mothers today on Father's Day. And to help us do that, we're going to do something a little bit strange right now. We are going to watch a little clip from America's Got Talent. Now, I know this is the exact kind of program that many of you watch and really enjoy and thoroughly get into. So here is the story of a guy called Archie Williams, and it is seriously good television. Watch and listen and enjoy it, and we're going to come back to this later on. So roll the clip, please.
This is Archie Williams.
Right, let's get to know you first of all, Archie, a little bit.
Okay. I was just incarcerated for 37 years for somebody else's crime.
Ooh.
DNA freed me.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my God.
On the morning of December the 9th of 1982, A 30-year-old white woman was raped and stabbed in her home. I was arrested on January the 4th. I couldn't believe it was really happening. I knew I was innocent, I didn't commit a crime. But being a poor black kid, I didn't have the economic ability to fight the state of Louisiana. I was sentenced to life in 80 years without the possibility of parole or probation. When you know you're faced with dark times, what I would do is I would pray and sing. This is how I got peace. I can't lie. No more of your darkness. All my pictures seem to fade to black and white. I'm going tired, and time stands still before me. Frozen here on the ladders of my life. Don't let the sun go down on me. Although I search myself, there's always someone else I see. Just another fraction of your life to wander free. But losing everything is like the sun going down.
Thanks, Chris, for showing that, very much indeed. Like I said, we'll come back to that in just a moment. This letter, Galatians, was written to a bunch of churches, and Paul, as he wrote this, was engaging with the heart of what it meant to be a Christian. The people he was writing to were in danger of losing their way, and losing their way badly. Paul, in this little section that Jemima read for us, tells us the story of two particular mothers and their sons, just to illustrate and to hammer home what it is that true Christian faith is really all about. So we can look at the two mums and their sons. Here are my visuals today. So there we are. The first mother and son is Hagar and Ishmael. Mother and son, Hagar and Ishmael. Way back here in the days of Abraham, back in the book of Genesis, God promised Abraham and his wife Sarah that despite their old age and despite their infertility as a couple, that he would give them a son and an heir. Well, time went by, and it went by, and it went by, and Sarah's body clock ticked by and ticked by. We might think that they got a little bit impatient, but seriously, it was decades. They kind of like gave up on God's promise. Decided to take things into their own hands. Sarah gave Abraham her slave girl, Hagar, as a surrogate mother to produce the promised offspring. And Hagar gave birth to Ishmael. So what of Abraham's first son, Ishmael. Well, look at some of the verses with me. Verse 22, for it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by a slave woman, one by a free woman. So Ishmael was the son of a slave. Now, the ethics of when what went on, we're not going to go into those this evening. But what Abraham and Sarah did was not good. To involve their slave in this situation, and then the consequences it had on her and on her family was, I dare to say, despicable, really. They didn't trust the Lord God. And Hagar remained a slave, and her son was born to her as a slave woman. Verse 23, if we look at that, says that Ishmael was born in a natural way, born through normal biological processes, and that was what was involved in his conception. Verse 23, but the son of the slave was born according to the flesh. That's all was kind of like very, very normal. Verse 24, Paul says that Ishmael and his mother symbolize the Old Testament, the Old Covenant of God. A covenant was a solemn agreement, a promise between God and his people. God became their God and signed and sealed the covenant, making them his people. That all happened at Mount Sinai. Paul says in verse 24 that the Old Covenant, the headquarters for that, is Mount Sinai. Then he goes on and he says, look, listen, you Galatians, the headquarters nowadays, not Mount Sinai, but the headquarters for the Old Covenant now is Jerusalem. And in actual fact, that's where the people that have infiltrated your church, that is where they have come from. Verse 24, and now this may be interpreted allegorically. These women are two covenants. One is from Mount Sinai, bearing children for slavery. She is Hagar. Verse 25, now Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia. She corresponds to the present Jerusalem, for she is in slavery with her children. So, the old covenant, Mount Sinai, God laid out the big responsibility for maintaining it on his people. You shall do this, you shall do that, you shall not do this, and you shall not do that. That was the old covenant, says Paul, it was the way of the law. In this way, Ishmael, born of a child of a slave woman, kind of like depicts that slavery of obedience and trying to win favor in that way, to being a slave to the law. The child of the slave woman could shout all he wanted to about being a son of Abraham. Biologically, he was. Ishmael was. But he wasn't an inheritor. He wasn't a son in that sense at all. He wasn't an heir. In that sense, he wasn't a son. So it's not as though the law is a problem. The law is, that we've already been seeing in Galatians, is to make us realize actually we need grace. But what goes wrong when we think about the law is that we think that in actual fact we can trust it by obeying it enough to put us right with God. And this is saying, no, if you approach it that way, it's just simple slavery. This is earth-shattering stuff. Lots of people claim their lineage to Abraham through Ishmael, actually. And here Paul is saying that to do that is to remain under slavery not to be an heir of all that God has promised. Religion, spiritual rules, rights, regulations, all put the responsibility on you, on me. Pressure, often from those outside, to conform to what they think is the appropriate right religious pattern that you should you should appoint and you should bow to. And in actual fact, I think that's one of the really large problems when it comes to religion and religiosity and rules and regulations. I don't think many of us actually think in obeying them, whether we're pleasing God or not. What actually happens is we're actually pleasing other people or not. We begin to dance to their tune and we're making them unhappy or happy. And it seems to me, look at verse 17 and 18 in the previous section we've been looking at earlier in this series. They make much of you, they speak well of you, they flatter you, but for no good purpose. They want to shut you out that you may make much of them. And it is always good to be made much of for a good purpose. And not only when I am present with you, he speaks about his own relationship with them. But these people have got an ulterior motive. They've come in and they're trying to get these folks in this church to submit to rules and regulations for their own credit. It's for their own prestige. It's so that they look good. And there's that personal pressure that goes on that makes you want to bow to them and to do things their way. And choosing to go that way is like choosing a slave as your mother. That's what's being said here. And a slave as your mother will always keep you as a slave. You'll never become a child. You'll never be a daughter. You'll never be a son. You'll never be free. So the first mother is Hagar with her son Ishmael. And basically, we could change their names. This is the illustration from Hagar and Ishmael to religion, who gives birth to rule keepers. And that's, the name of that kind of family. Well, the whole family is called slave and slaves, unlimited. You think you can obey the rules and the regulations, but you will never, ever get there. The rules and regulations are always going to be demanding more and more and more from you. It's utterly and completely unlimited. There's no escape. There's no way out of it. It's a horrific situation to be in. So that's the illustration that Paul gives of the first mother and son. And then moving on, we have a second mother and son, and this is Sarah and Isaac. So let's just think a little bit more about the second mother and son, Sarah and Isaac. Coming back to the story of Abraham and Sarah, this is what is so striking, actually, as you read those parts of Genesis. Even though they lacked faith, even though they were disobedient, even though they treated their slave in a despicable way, with really significant consequences, God still, out of his mercy and his grace, kept his promise to them. They did, in their ancient old age, have a child, and his name was Isaac. And verse 22 reminds us that he was the son of Abraham's wife, who was a free woman. So verse 22, for it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by a slave woman and one by a free woman, not a slave. Verse 23, Paul reminds us that the birth of Isaac wasn't natural. Ishmael's was. Sure, it was biologically normal, but the conception to birth was ultimately against nature. These were extremely ancient people. And they had already been childless throughout their marriage when they were younger. So to put it this way, his mum and his dad were so born so long ago that Isaac really was born against nature. He was actually born of promise. And that's what verse 23 is saying. The son of the slave was born according to the flesh, while the son of the free woman was born through promise as a result of what God said was going to happen. And then verses 25 and 26, they tell us that Sarah stands for the new covenant. Hagar for the old covenant, Sarah for the new covenant. The headquarters of the new covenant between God and his people, verse 25 and 26, Paul says, isn't the earthly Jerusalem down the road? It's not ancient history. It's not Mount Sinai. In actual fact, it's the new Jerusalem. It's eternity in the new heavens and the new earth. Look at verse 25 and 26 with me. Now, Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia. She corresponds to the present Jerusalem, for she is in slavery with her children. Verse 26, but the Jerusalem above is free, and she is our mother. And that is the promise to anyone who comes and puts their trust in the promises of God to forgive our sin and to make us his children through the death of his son, Jesus, on the cross, and the gift of his Holy Spirit into our hearts and lives. Earlier on, it says in Galatians 4, so we cry, Abba, Father, knowing God as our heavenly Father. And of course, the responsibility for keeping the new covenant is not you. You do this, you do that, you don't do this, you don't do that. The responsibility was Jesus's. And he was able to do this, to do that. He always pleased his Father. When he was baptized, the voice from heaven said, this is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. And then at Transfiguration, the voice of the Father speaks from heaven, this is my Son with whom I'm well pleased. Listen to him. He's the one who did that, did the other, completely obedient, and yet died on the cross. And so it's not you do this for me, the new covenant. The new covenant is I've done this for you. I sent my Son and he's kept all the laws and he's died in your place. So I will forgive you. I will, by my Spirit, put my law in your hearts and I'll lead you to actually want to live for me. I'll lead you to want to grow in the fruit of the Spirit and to be more like me in your character. The new covenant rests on God's promises being fulfilled in Jesus and not on me or not on you. The mother and son, the slave and slave unlimited. Here we find that Sarah and Isaac, well, their names really are so much more special in the reality than, you know, religion and rule keeper. You've basically got promise. That's what Sarah stands for. Sarah stands for promise. And the result of those who receive promise is freedom and not slavery at all. It's absolutely astonishing and absolutely wonderful. So in the new covenant, in this other family, there's redemption, there's the removal of guilt and shame through the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's righteousness is given to us. There's a relationship with God. There's a renewal by his Holy Spirit, promise and freedom. The name of this family, if the other is slave and slaves unlimited, this family is Father and Sons, plural, incorporated. And of course, we already know that sons refers to men and women in this context. It's because we are all men and women, the free recipients of being heirs in God's family. We become partners with him in the family business. It is absolutely extraordinary and absolutely wonderful the way that this works out for us. But I just want to draw things to a personal nature now as we think about how it applies to us. And the first thing I want to say is that we've heard these things before already in this series, going through Galatians. And tonight we've just had a fresh look at the same stuff, but using different concepts, an allegory from the Old Testament, which that our hearts and our prayers got to be, may this be real and true to me. Because I've already said, the tendency will be that others will come along and try and trap you. other people will have put expectations on you. And sometimes they may not put them directly on you. You may just feel that they are. And so you slip into rules and religion and slavery rather than freedom. Other people's expectations of you. It's terrible, but that's what we do. And we've got to remember that there's an audience of one, and it's God. It's our Father, and he loves us. When he looks at you and me, we're clothed in Jesus. We've got his Spirit in our hearts, and he sees children he loves. And he's not going to say, well, look, come on, perform for me. No, that's slavery. That's what a slave driver would do. So, and draw things to a close in this way. Yes, we've heard about two mothers and two sons. And I want to end by saying this. In actual fact, this is really about two mothers and three children. Okay? There's Hagar, and there's Sarah, and there's Ishmael, and there's Isaac, and there's a third child, and it's you. And the question tonight is, who's your mother? Is your mother religion or promise? Is your mother slave or free? Is that your name in the family? Does your Christian faith make you feel like a slave or make you feel free? Do you feel like you've got to be doing this, got to be doing the acts, got to be doing the other? Or actually, do you feel the freedom of being loved, cared for, having had the gift of the Lord Jesus Christ for you, the Spirit in your heart that leads to joy and gladness and a willing spirit to serve the Lord God with? And just as we were getting ready a moment ago, I didn't know whether I was going to do it. I didn't do this morning, but I do think in pictures, but I'm no good at drawing. I decided to go for it anyway. This is how I depict this little bit of Galatians chapter 4. I mean, these are the two families. You know, one is a family of chains, slavery, and bondage. And the other is a family of happiness and walking together through life. And seriously, what do we want to be? That's why Paul is saying, look, I'm perplexed by you. Why on earth are you going back to the rotten way? Look at verse 31. So, brothers and sisters, we're not children of the slave, but of the free woman. And let's not be conned. You're free. If you're not yet free, then give your life again back to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to end just actually by building up really and using the same illustration that Chris used so brilliantly for us the other day when he retold us the story of the prodigal son, you know, who messed up his life. He'd taken his dad's inheritance, wish out you were dead, dad, gone and spent it all and ended up losing it. Keeping pigs and probably eating pig food, and he decides, you know, I'll go back to my dad. Comes to his senses and, Dad, I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me a servant. And so that's what he goes and does. And his father welcomes him home and robes on him, ring on his finger, fattened calf slain, and there's a banquet and all the rest of it. And Chris said, imagine that fella saying, Dad, actually, I'd rather not do this. I'll go and live in a slave quarters. Just wouldn't do it. So, let's go back to Archie Williams. And that's the reason why I wanted that clip played. I mean, there is a guy, and you saw it, you heard it, and you knew the TV emotion. It is good TV, seriously. You may not like that kind of program, but just great television. There is a guy with his real story. And it's a horrific story of being imprisoned for 37 years for something he didn't do. And then at the end of it, you know, he's out there and there's the crowds listening to him and his story. And then he sings Elton John's song, I think, a whole load better than Elton John has ever sung it, and with real depth and real meaning in. And there's the moment where he extends the free, doesn't he? He sings out the word free, and it's deeply emotional. And then he says, you know, that losing everything is like the sun going down on me. And he would never, having enjoyed that moment of freedom, that moment of liberty, of singing a song that he'd longed to sing, you know, when he was in prison, if you can find out more about him on YouTube, he actually used to dream in prison of going on America's Got Talent. Imagine him the next day heading to the courts and saying, seriously, put me back in prison. It just doesn't happen. Except with us spiritually. We go, we hear what other people are saying. We put our hands together and say, go on, cuff me again. Bring me back into slavery. Because we think that their view of us is somehow important. It's not. It's the Lord's. It's God, and he's your father. He gave you his son for you, and he's given you his spirit. So seriously, be free. And if I had a good voice, I'd sing the word. I'd sing the song again for you now. But we're going to sing another song. It's a brilliant one. We don't know it very well as a church, but it's quite well known. It's quite widely known. So we're going to have the use of the video for it, so the kind of song which goes really well with needing a bit more of a backing singers and the bigger band and the bigger sound than we can get without, you know, that's not underplaying our brilliant singers. Those guys are playing regularly for us, but just, we long to get back, don't we, to singing together with a bigger band and in each other's company. We look forward to that. So we can't do that yet. So we're going to sing the final song now, which is Who You Say I Am. It's a great song to meditate on and to sing from our hearts with the Bible and Bible truth in mind. So let's sing it together.